Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We resume examining Hebrews chapter 10. We'll back up and look at the verses that we've looked at the last couple of times, focusing on one particular thing. There's a phrase right here that sort of struck me, actually, I think, when we were doing the last episode. Then when I looked at the verses that we're about to look at again, I realized how important this is. And I think it might be something sort of interesting right here. So let's look at it. Verse 5, let me reread this. It says, "Therefore, when he comes into the world," that's the Lord Jesus, "he says, 'Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me.'" So the Lord is quoting some of the Old Testament and is applying the Old Testament to himself. Verse 6, "In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Excuse me, I'm still in this dusty office, as you can tell. It's great till I start talking, then I just hack away. The end of verse 7 right there, "I've come to do your will, O God." Think about that. Jesus came to do the will of God. Now verse 8, "And saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Verse 9, "Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.'" So he keeps reiterating these prophetic statements that were made. Verse 7, "To do the will, do your will, O God." Verse 9, "Behold, I've come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Now that's where we left off in the previous episode. So Jesus comes by the will of the Father to take away the first and establish the second. Now verse 10, "By this will we have been sanctified." Oh, now if you get started at verse 10, you start reading, "Oh, by this will," you're thinking, well, what is that will? What's it talking about? That's the reason you must see what the context is. Get the broader picture of things, okay? So verse 10, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So we see here that we're sanctified. Okay, we're made holy is what that means. And we're made holy because of the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, that he offered himself up. He took on the form of flesh, Philippians tells us. He took on a body. He took on his creation. And he offered his creation as a sacrifice once for all. And this was done by the will of God. And it is by this will that we have been sanctified. That word will, I was looking at this earlier. I think it's a little Greek word. Let me scroll down here. I loved what Zodiades had to say about this. Hang on to this. He says, "Will not to be conceived as a demand, but as an expression or an inclination of pleasure toward that which is liked, that which pleases and creates joy. When it denotes God's will, it signifies his gracious disposition towards something, and is used to designate what God himself does for his own good pleasure." That's Spyros Zodiades' comment on that. Well, that's a lot more than just, you know, you trying to will something into existence, isn't it? It is by this will, by the will of the Father, that brought him pleasure to offer his Son, the body of his Son, so that it would sanctify us. The writer of Hebrews continues, verse 11, "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same offerings and same sacrifices, which can never take away sin." So he's sort of reiterating this. We've talked about it several times, that the sacrifices under the old covenant, under the law, did not take away sins. There's also some little what we call internal evidence of some things right here. You'll hear all these theological academic terms from time to time, okay? But right here he says, "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering." He says it from the viewpoint of when he's writing that it is still occurring. And so that gives us a major hint that Hebrews was written prior to 70 AD. Why prior to 70 AD? Because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD and they were not doing daily sacrifices. There's all sorts of little hints that you see in the scripture like that, that if we just pay attention and look at some things, give us additional insight as to what was going on. So he's saying this, the priests are still standing here daily, they're ministering, same sacrifices, but they can't take away sin. Verse 12, but he, this is Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Why at the right hand of God? Sometimes people say, well, it must have been an empty seat there. Well, there is. And boy, there's some curious things about that right hand, empty throne kind of thing. But for now, we won't look at that. But for now, that right hand is the seat of power. Okay? It's the seat of power. And so Jesus is sitting at the right hand that the Father had designed for him, verse 13, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. And that's another quote from the Old Testament. So we learn right here what's going on, that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he's waiting from that moment when he did that until the time that his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. In other words, his enemies are going to be defeated. Then verse 14, last verse we'll look at today. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So he's telling us that those who are sanctified have been perfected. Remember what that word means right there. It means to bring to fruition, to be complete with something, to be perfected, to be accomplished. So the idea is that our salvation has been completed. The offering was completed. There's no more additional offerings. There's no need for it. It's one offering from the Lord Jesus Christ, completed, perfected for all times. In case you were a little confused about that, he throws in that little thing. He could have said, "For by one offering he has perfected those who are sanctified." He could have said it that way. Sure, it had been absolutely true. But for all times. He's driving home a point to them. He's driving home a point to us. Remember, they were being tempted to go back and pick up some elements and some things of Judaism. They were undergoing trials and tribulations and persecution by their family and friends from a previous life who were yet believers, you know, the Jewish people. They were also undergoing some other things. But he's saying, don't go back to that. Don't go back to the old way. Realize that this is what Jesus has done for us. For those who are sanctified, for those that are holy, his offering is complete. His offering is perfect. It is whole, and it's for all time. You don't have to go back to the old ways. You don't have to go back to the old law. He's really, remember why he wrote this letter? At the end of it, he said, I've written to you briefly to exhort you. He's exhorting them. Exhorting them what? To remember that Jesus is better than everything and to believe. Keep on believing that. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in the next episode.